Remember that tune, the Nat Cole tune, "It's Only a Paper Moon, Cardboard Sky"? That's it. And the poetry is attempting to find out how much of it is real and how much of it is this governmental whipped cream.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard.
The U.S. stock market on Friday and Monday had one of its biggest two-day sell-offs in history in the wake of all kinds of financial turmoil in China, where more than 20% of the stock market has lost its value. What the hell is going on here? We're speaking on Tuesday afternoon as the market is beginning to rebound, and we're here with Jim Grant of Grant's Interest Rate Observer and author of America's Forgotten Depression, recent book about the 1920s.
Yeah,
yeah. I just remembered all of it. Thank you very much for joining us.
It is my pleasure.
What is your assessment of what is happening right now and what will happen in the near term future?
Well, one thing to recall is that markets are meant to be two-way propositions. They go up, sometimes they go down. It has been almost 4 years since the stock market pulled back by as much as 10%, which is, so what's unusual is not the churn and chop of an occasional down day or two or three, but rather the kind of the great sedation that preceded the down day or two or three.
As someone who observes interest rates.
Yes, well, there's very little to observe. We don't have interest rates anymore.
Well, are we
and
not
don't
going,
we miss them?
Are we not going to now have interest rates for another 7 years? What do you think is going to happen?
What we need, Matt, are natural, organic, free-range interest rates, you know, sustainable, local interest rates, the kind that that grow spontaneously in the market, not the supermarket hothouse kind the federal government imposes. So that's what we need. Now, what we will get is anyone's guess. I am guessing that the Fed has, having been loath to let go, will remain reluctant to let go, but that is sheer guesswork.
How much do you see of the last 6 years of more or less of a bull market being the artifact of zeroed out interest rates?
Well, that's a good question. Low interest rates flatter projected future cash flows. That is an arithmetic fact. Another fact is that America is virtually indestructible. There is a spontaneous sense of enterprise here that, try as they might, they really cannot suppress. So some of this is natural. Corporate profits have risen. There has been a kind of recovery from our sorrows of 2008. But superimposed on all of that has been the artificial government-confected levitation of asset values. This is the plan, the scheme, to raise up the prices of stocks and bonds and real estate. That took the fancy econometric phrase, portfolio balance channel effect, otherwise known as trickle down.
So where do you see the biggest kind of artificial bubbles out there, and what kind of concern do you have about
the thing to remember about finance is that it's largely reciprocal. There are assets and liabilities, there is supply and demand. And the Fed acted to raise up what they call aggregate demand, and so doing it also lifted aggregate supply, right? Cheap credit financed cheap oil, cheap copper, cheap stuff. And we like that. We American consumers like that. The Fed does not like it so much because it tends to reduce the measured rate of inflation. The Fed, you see, wants inflation. So the Fed forgot about the reciprocity of these things. It wanted to raise up the demand of the American consuming public by lifting stock prices. Ah, excellent. Lifting up junk bond prices. Except behind those prices is real enterprise, real people making real choices about how to allocate capital. And when you get fake interest rates, you get misdirected flows of investment and enterprise and effort. Remember that tune, the Nat Cole tune, "It's Only a Paper Moon, Cardboard Sky"? That's it. We are living in, to a degree, in a kind of hall of mirrors, I guess. And the poetry is knowing or attempting to find out how much of it is real and how much of it is this governmental whipped cream.
I am old enough to remember the
Asian
crises of the late 90s, when a lot of bears came out of the woodwork and said, all right, this is it. You know, our run is over. This is revealing it. And it didn't turn out to be true, at least in the short term, for the next couple of years afterwards. What are there any interesting parallels from that period? What's different significantly this time?
Well, the one common thread that time and this is is the great eternal question of what is money and who says so? What is the Chinese renminbi worth? That's the question for today. Well, it's the currency with the picture of Mao on the cover. It's one of the great mass murders of the 20th century. That doesn't speak well of the currency, does it? But substantively, what are these pieces of paper worth? That is kind of a persistent backstory. It's a rarely discussed backstory. People, confoundingly to me, have come to be quite accepting of the value attached by fiat to these pieces of paper we call currency. We get back again to markets and prices. Are prices meant to be imposed from on high or discovered by individuals acting spontaneously in markets? Well, the readers and the viewers of Reason know the answer to that, but they regrettably are in a minority.
Your author, as aforementioned, of America's Forgotten Depression of the 1920s, what lessons are applicable from that, if any?
Well, I'm not sure. One can't dogmatize about episodes in history and their applicability today. But one thing I did observe in working on this book is that severe depression set in after World War I. It kind of came into focus in 1920, and it wreaked havoc with employment, with profits, with everything you can measure in an economy, which word, by the way, did not exist. But things were very rugged in America, and the government's response to this was essentially inaction. The Federal Reserve did what many people would call the wrong thing and actually raised interest rates. The administrations of Woodrow Wilson and Warren G. Harding did not stimulate. They did not do anything except to balance the budget. And lo and behold, prices adjusted, wages adjusted, importantly, and the 20s proverbially roared.
As some people say, the past at this point is science fiction. Jim Grant, thank you very much for joining
us. You're entirely welcome, Matt.
And explaining what's going on. For Reason TV, I am Matt Welch.